question. We'll start with Mr. Fogarty. The town's reserves are dwindling, down from about $20 million a few years ago to less than $9 million now. In your opinion, what's the best use of the remaining reserve funds?
I guess what I would say is, or what I will say, is holding on to those reserves for as long as possible, and that I see no imminent use that seems more important than maintaining what reserves there are.
Thank you. Ms. Knarr?
I think I've always been pretty conservative. I feel we do have $5 million that we put in that cannot be touched. We have probably $1.5 million that's pretty well
off limits. So we've been trying really hard. There's been a few things that we have considered necessary, but we need to watch what we're doing. Our mission in Pinedale is safety and health. We have to concentrate on those things, and we'll just have to go from there.
Thank you. Mr. Lingle?
We had some quality of life things that we wanted to do, and we could do it within the existing budget and not go into deficit to do it, like the playground. We had, but then when our new mayor came in and said, well, I need all new equipment, he got a $280,000 road grader, and bought a KOA while I was working in Washington, making sure that he did it while I was gone. Now we have a deficit. So I think that we shouldn't be spending any of our reserves. We can balance our budget. I was pretty proud of the fact 2 years ago that we had a balanced budget, and I guess it was meaningless, but being on a council where you're 4-1 against you, you tend to lose a lot of these financial votes. So that's the short answer, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford.
I really do believe that we need to be extremely conservative with that money. I look at it as more of a rainy day fund, and in my opinion, we've already been spending some of our rainy day money when it's sprinkling, and we know for a fact that on the horizon there's a downpour coming. The tax revenues are going to go down. People are leaving. Everyone knows this. It's not any sort of secret to anyone. We need to be extremely conservative and possibly even look at really any instance, possibly not necessarily like a business venture, but any place that we can possibly increase revenue in any way, shape, or form. I know the water and dump station was being considered. There's actually return on investment, and that's a situation where you can actually ideally get to the point where you're putting money back into the reserves. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Brost.
I have to agree with pretty much everybody there. Also, we need to leave that there for a rainy day fund and try to work on a balanced budget. And anything that we do have that comes up that needs to be done, we need to have better justification for why we need to have that done. We'll use that motor grader for an example. You know, that's something that really didn't need to be, as far as I'm concerned, needed to be bought, because the old grader that they had didn't have that many hours on it. And as everybody knows here, probably 95% or more of the streets in Pinedale are paved. So with the loaders and stuff that they have, with the changeable attachments, they take care of everything that we need. So we just need to leave that alone.
Thank you.
And on to question number 3, Ms. Kennard, we'll start with you. Near the end of last year, there was talk of making the lodging tax, which is also known as the tourist tax, a countywide effort. It's currently a Pinedale-based tax. Do you support a lodging tax in general? Why or why not? And if so, where should it be based?
I support not the countywide. I do not support the countywide. I support the town. because right at this time, the town collects, town businesses collect about 77% of that. And I think that if we're going to promote town and we are going to try to get money coming back in from tourism, that we need to stick with what we know works. If we start fighting between the two, it's going to go down and nobody's going to get anything.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. Mr. Lingle, same question. Do you support a lodging tax in general? Why or why not? And if so, where should it be based?
I do support the Pinedale lodging tax. I think it should remain in town. I understand frustration with it from local businesses because I think they're frustrated with the makeup of the board and some of the things we've done with it on the council where we've spent it on grant money and things like that. And I think that notwithstanding, it should remain in town. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Mr. Swofford, same question. Do you support a lodging tax in general? Why or why not? And if so, where should it be based?
Firstly, I must say I actually sit on the Pinedale Travel and Tourism Commission as the chamber representative for that seat. The chamber as a whole has not made a distinction about whether or not we're still gathering information about which is better from our membership, whether go county or town. However, I do know that since I've been on the Travel and Tourism Commission, I think we have turned a corner. We've made some strides. We definitely need the tax. That is wholeheartedly yes. Really, the question needs to come down to whether it is now doled out at a county level or at the town level. As it currently sits and sitting on that commission, I'd like to think that I'm making a difference. Hopefully I am. I think that we're doing a good job moving forward with the monies that are coming in. So, thanks.
And having said, currently sitting on the PTTC, saying that we definitely need it, what are some of the strategies you guys have employed to really make use of those funds?
Well, recently we just hired a new, the company that we hired out of Jackson is New Thought Media. It's kind of a two-prong approach. We're looking at a hardcore social media push through them, along with, obviously, you have to be diverse, just like any investment. Essentially, marketing and for tourism is an investment in our future, and that's what we're trying to do by diversifying where we spend that money.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford.
Enough? Okay.
And Mr. Brose, and my apologies, I forgot to introduce Mr. Brose. He is running for the four-year term. And Mr. Bro, same question. Do you support a lodging tax in general? Why or why not? And if so, where should it be based?
Yes, I would support a lodging tax. And predominantly, I would prefer to be based here in the Pinedale community. If it is a countywide thing, then I think it should be proportioned accordingly. Like Nyla Kennard said, 77% of it is coming from this area. So we need to promote this area a little bit more of the county also, but more for our town to help it grow. And in using advertisement and stuff, I hear on different radio stations and stuff occasionally some of the stuff from the past that we've had advertising for our community, for the Mountain Man Museum and various things for this area. So, yes, I would.
Thank you, Mr. Brose. And Mr. Fogarty, lodging tax, do you support it in general? Why or why not? And if so, where should it be based?
Yeah, I'm in favor of the lodging tax. And personally, I think it would be wise if it was countywide and if the money and revenue from such a tax were to be earmarked for an agreed-upon project for the betterment of the community. I guess there's room for debate whether or not money should be allocated based on the amount coming out of, say, the town of Pinedale itself, as opposed to pooling it amongst the county together, I'm open to debating that. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty.
We'll start the next question with Mr. Lingle. Mr. Lingle, in terms of infrastructure, what should be Pinedale's top three priorities in your opinion and why?
Well, I think we prioritized some street projects in the last year or so, but I really think the number one priority should be the critical access hospital and however we can support that. We did offer up a pledge of $1 million, and I think that will hopefully help that project along. But that should be the number one priority. We are doing two streets now that kind of finishes up our street projects, but after that I think we should be focusing on quality of life things like pathways. Playgrounds that are hurting kids we should probably replace, and we tried. But quality of life for the residents and not so much on tourist issues.
Mr. Lingle, to follow up, could you expand on what you are talking about when you say that we need to focus on the pathways and the playground specifically?
Pathway projects for Pinedale residents, I believe they are a quality of life issue, and that we have a lot of county paths that dead end at the town limits. So since my time on office, we've been trying to connect the dots between dead-ended county pathways. So a safe route to the elementary school between the elementary and the PAC, and a route through along the creek to get all residents on our pathways.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Mr. Swofford, in terms of infrastructure, what should be Pinedale's top three priorities in your opinion and why?
Well, top three, we got a short amount of time to answer this question, but Tim honestly hit what I actually believe are all three. I do agree with the critical access hospital. I think that needs to be on the priority list. As well, I think in going to town council meetings over the past year-ish, pretty consistently, it seemed to me that the phases are projects that are going on right now, I thought that we were kind of locked into those. So those are automatically a priority. Got to pay for it. And I really think you've got to keep Pinedale being the beautiful town of Pinedale, and that includes art. I mean, whenever we're talking about traveling, trying to get people here, what are they going to do here? Hopefully come out, walk, while realize how gorgeous the mountain is. That's the answer to the question.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Swofford. Mr. Gross, what should infrastructure-wise, the three priorities of the town of Pinedale be, in your opinion?
I would have to agree with the following statements and stuff with the sewer and water street project. You know, there are still a number of streets that can be worked on the south side of town. I'm not exactly sure what the calendar dates for any of those are. I don't believe some of those are even on the schedule at this time due to the projects that are on the north side of the town. The pathways and stuff for more people and stuff to use, a little more accessible and such. The parks and stuff is another one, like the park downtown, the Legion Park has got the horseshoe pits and stuff, so there's more things that need to be done for families to do instead of just only the kids, and then the parents go sit on the sidelines and watch the kids play. Make a few more things for the parents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Mr. Fogarty, same question. In terms of infrastructure, what should be Pinedale's top three priorities in your opinion and why?
As others have said, I'm all for the critical care access hospital. An expansion of that facility would be a great benefit for the health of this community in more ways than just simply health. I'm also in favor of seeing an extension of the great programs that the Fine Arts Council has been putting on in this town. Some of the music in the park weekends have, I think, brought a good amount of money into the community and can continue to do so as those become more and more popular and more well-known. Also, though I'm not very specifically well-versed on the details of our sewer system in town, I am aware that there are issues with it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. Same question for Ms. Kennard. In terms of infrastructure, in your opinion, what should Pinedale's top three priorities be and why?
As you probably already know, one of our last big projects is going on this summer. We've planned this for years, and it looks good. The pathway is pretty well decided now. We are going ahead with the one pathway. We also have been trying to get a program that goes every year that we repair one or two streets. We don't want everything to fall apart at once. We want on the infrastructure to do it gradually and take time to do it right. And it won't fall apart as soon.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard.
And getting into the next question, we'll go ahead and start with you, Mr. Swofford. Everybody knows the town hall currently in limbo following the asbestos removal back in February. There's also talk of building a new town hall. What do you think is the best course of action in the current scenario and why?
All right. After walking us through last week when we had the town council meeting, actually moved to the old town hall, to me the fact that it was moved and we got to walk through tells me it shouldn't be condemned. To me, I think we fix it. Mr. Brost actually kindly gave a bid at that time in which I believe it was a little bit over $40,000 to fix it and essentially get our staff back using the town hall. I do not think that we need to build a new town hall. While it would be fine and it would be great if we had all the money in the world, however, we do not. This goes back to the reserve funds question that we brought up earlier. We have to be extremely careful with our money right now. And to me, $40,000-ish, maybe $45,000 on the top end, sounds a heck of a lot better than dropping a mill and a half on a brand-new town hall.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford. And Mr. Brost, as you're well aware, the town hall, the asbestos removal, what do you think is the best course of action in the current scenario and why?
Well, having here a couple weeks ago, I was addressed or brought up the concern about the town hall, so I went down and looked at it and decided they were asking me to give them a bid, so I did. And looking at the rest of the structure and stuff inside and out, I didn't see any problems with making the repairs as needed for the ceiling and stuff and the lighting and being able to move back in there. If they want to pursue and, you know, build a new building, I don't think that that's the right way to go right at the moment due to our economic downturn in these times. And if all else fails, they can always keep their offices down at the town facilities right now to get by. So I don't advocate a new building at all.
Thank you, Mr. Brost. And Mr. Fogarty, same question. What do you think should be done about the current scenario with the town hall and why?
Well, as I understand it, renovation of the building should be possible and would cost a lot less money, and the building of a new town hall at the moment seems frivolous and possibly moronic.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. And Ms. Kennard, same question. Amid the asbestos removal, what do you think is the best course of action to take in the current scenario with Town Hall, and why?
I was the one that was pushing Jim knows, to get some idea what it was going to cost. I am the one that said, if we're going to have to put a new roof, new floor, new vent, new windows, and it was going to cost $400,000, I did not want to put it into an old building. But we have found out that's not the case. So if that's not the case, and we can get back into the building and it's safe, that's what we need to do with the economy. I want to bring out one more thing. Ever since I've been on the council, we have talked about a new town hall. This is not new. But definitely, with what we have to face right now, it needs fixed.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. And Mr. Lingle, same question. What should we do about the town hall scenario, and why?
I think we should, first of all, listen to the engineers who wrote us two separate letters that said you don't need to do anything about asbestos abatement. We had a report from our own town engineer that said there's an 11-step process to this, and our mayor jumped us to step 11 before any of us knew what was happening. In a 4-to-1 vote, we voted to remove the asbestos despite the engineer's reports, and so here we are. But I'm really glad that Jim stepped in and gave us a bid so that we have an idea of what we're talking about, instead of, well, if now that the ceiling's out, we got to replace the roof, the floor, the walls, and every other thing. So I think we need to move back in with $40,000 worth of sheetrock and some fluorescent lights. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle.
Okay, we'll start this question with Mr. Brost. Some of you have already addressed the importance of the critical access hospital in your opinion, but what this question is about is specifically about the critical access hospital. The town of Pinedale last year pledged $1 million in support to the critical access hospital project. The question is whether you agree with that pledge and why or why not.
I'll have to be honest with you. I, up until probably a week or two ago, I didn't really know a whole lot about the critical access portion of the hospital up here. I can see the need for the addition and stuff. And then on the other hand, in the way the times are right now, I can see not doing anything at this time. But I haven't studied or resourced that enough to really give you a competent answer.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. Mr. Fogarty, same question. Do you support the town's $1 million pledge to the Critical Access Hospital project? Why or why not?
I absolutely support it. If even one life is saved over the course of the next decade because of such an expansion, then that's money well spent. Not only that, I feel that the strength of the community could be, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess the strength of the community could be even more stabilized by having a critical care access hospital instead of having, I think some people are hesitant to live in such an isolated area and knowing that a medical situation may lead to a flight to Idaho Falls, you know, whereas if that's something that we could handle here in the county, I think more people would be inclined to call Pinedale their home.
Mr. Fogarty, I'm going to ask you a follow-up question on that. What it sounds like you're addressing is, I guess, a ripple effect of what the critical access hospital could do beyond just providing care. Could you expand on what you foresee a critical access hospital could provide to our community?
Well, I'm not going to be super informed on details of what they intend to build, but I do know that it would cut down on the amount of life flights. I think everybody in here knows someone or several people that have had to be life flighted over to Idaho Falls for something that probably could have been taken care of right here with a expansion of the facility.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. Ms. Kennard, same question. Do you support the town's $1 million pledge in support of the Critical Access Hospital project, and why or why not?
I do support the $1 million that we kind of pledged to have that. Health provisions are really, really important for Pinedale. And if we are to grow, we need to grow, and we need to take advantage of the things that will help us grow. So it's very important to me to have this facility.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. And Mr. Lingle, same question. Do you support the $1 million pledge from the town of Pinedale for the Critical Access Hospital project? And why or why not?
Well, it so happens I made the motion. So, yes, thanks for the softball. You know, 3 years ago we did a priority list at the lake with former Mayor Smith, and it was right when Councilman Murdoch got on. Critical Access Hospital, although we didn't call it that at the time, was at the top of every priority list for town well-being, for even economic development and expansion. Bringing in doctors, you know, specialists that would possibly have admission privileges would really change the way that healthcare in Pinedale and Sublette County operate. So I really support it. I hope everybody else does. And thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Mr. Swofford, the same question. Do you support the $1 million pledge to the Critical Access Hospital project, and why or why not?
Yes, I do. I think it's a great thing. I wish that the idea would have come up a few years back when I believe that the industry, you know, over the hill would have been able to better cover it, meaning the town wouldn't have to pitch in money, possibly the industry could have. Now, that being said, I do support it completely. Being a part of CIRC and the chamber, I've been a part of quite a few meetings and some mugs and mornings with the Critical Access Hospital as the main topic up at the clinic. Yes, I guess is the ultimate answer, is that I definitely support it.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford.
And next question, we'll start with you, Mr. Fogarty. What skills or experiences do you have that qualify you for the Pinedale Town Council?
I served as a volunteer on the Planning and Zoning Commission here in the town of Pinedale from 2007 to 2013, and six of those years I was the chairman and in charge of running and making sure that our meetings ran smoothly, and I feel I was successful in that all the way along, and I tend to be interested in things that, especially those that affect the community that I care about. So, yeah, it's not just a hobby. It's definitely, and more than just a civic duty, it's something that I want to do. And I think wanting to do it is an important aspect of doing it well.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. And Ms. Kennard, what skills or experiences do you have that qualify you for the Pinedale Town Council?
That's a hard question.
Indeed.
I've always enjoyed the public. I've always felt like I could work with the public. I've always felt like I will listen. And I do get a lot of calls, and I do listen. So I feel like that I know town government. I've known county government. And I just feel like that I can listen and take part in the things that need to be done.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. And Mr. Lingle, same question. What skills or experiences do you have that qualify you for the Pinedale Town Council?
First, I'm a glutton for punishment. And second, I try not to capitulate to the bullying that's been on for the last 2 years. I try to question things in the interest of, not in arguing, but in the interest of the public good and the public welfare, why we propose things that, you know, without me asking, it seems like half the time we would be making decisions with no counter argument to anything up there. So I think that's what I bring to the table. I've also rolled up my sleeves and written ordinances and written policies for the town and researched a nauseating amount of state statutes. So I think that's my skill set. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Mr. Swofford, what skills or experiences qualify you for the Pinedale Town Council?
I believe that since I first moved here, back running the roundup, putting out some fires, why there's two newspapers, yada, 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 selling newspaper ads, you get pretty good at dealing with people in order to keep that job. The other aspect is I've been volunteering on different boards throughout the county, the Sublake Economic Resource Council. I currently sit as the president of the Chamber of Commerce, as well as even Sublet Softball and Pinedale Travel and Tourism. Ultimately, I really think that I try to maintain a really kind of a consensus-building personality. I've taken a lot of different, in my opinion, when you have dissenting opinions and you have a discussion, you end up with a better overall result. I think our town council currently would benefit greatly from that skill that hopefully I would be able to bring. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford. And Mr. Brost, what skills or experiences do you have that would qualify you for the Pinedale Town Town Council?
We'll just go through a few here, I guess. I'm obviously a community member, a family man, concerned citizen. I've got 15 years of materials management that I've worked closely with the public and stuff, so I know how to deal with people. And also dealing with major contracts. Had to deal with a lot of contracts when I worked for a underground hard rock mine expansion in Montana. It was a $200 million project, so had to put out a lot of contracts and bids for various equipment and operators and contractors and stuff to come in to do the work. Organizational skills and people skills, and most of all, I want this community to succeed because I plan on being here for a long time.
Thank you, Mr. Brose.
Ms. Kennard, the town purchased a 5-acre former Kalo campground last summer, and as of yet, there's no clear purpose for the property. In your opinion, what should the town do with that land?
Explain that one again.
The purchase of the 5-acre former KOA campground by the town, what do you think should be done with that land, since at this point there's no clear direction?
I'm just not sure what we're trying to get at.
What do you foresee the town? That's now a town property. It was purchased by the town.
Oh,
what
you
do
mean
you
the KOA?
Yes, correct.
All right, the KOA. For years, we had had people from the other side of town asking us to put some ball fields over there. In fact, we had contacted, I think it was Salenta had some ground over there that we had talked about. It's always been kind of in the back of one of the Recreation Board's priorities. So when this came up, the price was good. We had been talking about having a water and dump station. That was on our priority list. We had talked about ball fields over there. We had talked about many things that we could, we should be doing. When this came up, then we thought that was an opportunity to do it.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. Mr. Lingle, what do you think the town should do with the five-acre former KOA campground?
I think we should unload it. I wasn't part of that decision. I was out of town. It seemed like the special meeting that was called was specifically called because I was out of town. The rec master plan that we as the town paid for and was completed 2 years ago had specifically said that we should not purchase new property for parks. So this one, I have no idea what we're doing with it. And I know some people think we could do dry camping, but we've not even gotten that far, and it's, you know, May is around the corner. So I think we should look at either partnering with someone to run dry camping for a year, or with the ultimate goal of having them purchase it away from the town. Maybe with the Wyoming Business Council's help, we could put some deal together. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Mr. Swofford, what do you think the town should do with that five-acre property?
It was kind of it was purchased in a kind of a contentious nature. Tim kind of brought up when he was out of town, this is when the decision took place. I was actually at the meeting. It did seem very, it didn't smell right. I guess it didn't pass the smell test when it was going on. I was under the impression that municipalities, in order to purchase property in any way, have to have a defined plan on what to do with it. So I guess I'm kind of at a loss as far as how we even came about purchasing it without that plan. That being said, I have been in the camp of, sorry about the word choice, but of dry camping, because I do think that if we're driving people to town and we don't even have a dry camping outlet in town, it does seem to me that that would make a little bit more sense given the types of tourists that we are looking for, and we want to have them stay in town somewhere. Ideally, obviously, with the lodging tax at one of the hotels and such, but at the same time, you want to offer as much as you can to as many as you can.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford. Mr. Bros, how do you think the town could best use that five-acre former KOA campground?
Well, ultimately, I would agree with Tim. You know, I think they should try to unload it. The unfortunate thing is right now the cost of the land was roughly $500,000, and then they've got an exponential amount more in the removal of all the buildings and stuff that were on there. And personally, I feel, or I can see this thing being over $1 million project by the time they get done with it, by the time they put in any infrastructure or more time to make it more appealing to the eye and such. And I'm sure there's a few people out there that would be more than happy to donate some land for ball fields or dry camping or anything else along those lines, that a guy could go in and do some landscaping and such to make it look even better than the KOA is right now.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Mr. Fogarty, in your opinion, what would be the best use of that five-acre property, the former KOA campground?
To be completely honest, I have not formulated an opinion, an informed opinion, on what should happen with that piece of property. I never thought that it was an ideal location for a campground to begin with. I'm not certain about the necessity of expanding the amount of ball fields that we have here in town, and I think there's possibly other options regarding other locations where a campground might make more sense, perhaps in the Bloomfield if they're inclined towards such a development. I also don't think it's probably a good time to sell, so honestly, I have not formulated an opinion on what should be done next with that piece of property.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty.
And on to the next question. Mr. Lingle, we'll start with you. According to a recent survey by the Chamber, many respondents felt Pinedale has an anti-business reputation. Do you agree with that assessment, and what do you think can be done to foster a business-friendly reputation?
I do agree with that assessment. I mean, when the brew pub was run out of town, Nyla and I set up meetings with the Wyoming Business Council to try to salvage anything out of that deal, but we were, you know, far too late to help. But all of that happened with under the mayor's authority to dictate to the brew pub and to the business council whether they could expand on specific pieces of property. And when we heard about that, we did everything we could to stop it. So as far as moving forward, I think we need to keep exploring opportunities with the business council, but we should also be looking at a recall ordinance. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Mr. Swofford, same question. Given how many feel that Pinedale has an anti-business reputation, do you agree with that assessment? And how do you think, what can be done to foster a business-friendly perception?
I do agree with that assessment, and it's supported by that survey, obviously. This is my campaign motto, if you will, because business matters. I grew up in a small business. My family owned their own business, and I work there. When you put roadblocks in front, such as I believe the term was "kiss the ring," came up a few times in meetings where we had to a business had to come in essentially and quote unquote kiss the ring in order to get moving forward. I just think that it's a clear roadblock. You should not have to do that in this small of a community. If someone wants to open a business, we should be walking them down the aisle, so to speak, hand in hand, and working with and collaborating with all the different organizations that we have in town that are designed specifically for that, the Chamber, CERC. These are organizations that do that. We need to have a council that works with those organizations.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Swofford. And Mr. Brost, given the results of the recent survey concerning an anti-business reputation, do you agree with that assessment, and what do you think can be done to foster a business-friendly perception?
Yes, I have to agree with it also. The roadblocks is a good term. We need to make it a little easier for people to come in here without the headaches and stuff. And I'm not saying to let them just come in and open up a brothel or something like that next to the grade school. I'm totally against that, but we need to make things a little easier for them and not try to have any hidden agendas or underlying motives to let them prosper. We've had our own, my wife and I, when we first moved here, we started up a business, and for us it was very profitable, and due to health problems and stuff, she ended up selling it, and it continued to be a good business for the people that bought it. So the opportunity is here.
Thank you, Mr. Brost. And just to follow up, having started a business and now currently amid the bid that you turned in at the last council meeting, doing contract work, do you have any specific examples related to your interactions with town in running a business, whether starting one or currently in your own contract work? I guess just looking for examples that, given the fact that you do agree that with the anti-business reputation, do you have any specific examples from running your own business that you can point to that could be improved?
Well, with me running my own business, it's a little easier because I'm running it basically out of my house and my shop, so I don't have to deal basically with the town as much as I would if I had a business out on Main Street or on one of the side streets. If I was to do that, then I would have a lot more hurdles that I would have to jump over, where being a sole owner and stuff and not having to employ people, I don't have to deal with as much rhetoric.
Thank you, Mr. Bros. And Mr. Fogarty, given the results of that survey pointing to an anti-business reputation, do you agree with that assessment? And what do you think can be done to foster a business-friendly perception?
Yeah, I agree with that assessment, and I agree with most of what's been said up here, especially with what Tyler said. I honestly feel that the town should have bent over backwards to figure out how to make the brewpub's expansion a reality, and the fact that so much negative energy was put into throwing up roadblocks and making it so difficult that they decided to go to another town, I find it absurd. One of the things in small town government, one of the things is really just to be able to reach a consensus and to, I feel like at the moment there's a certain amount of personalities that are clashing and it's not in the best interest of the town.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. And Ms. Kennard, given the results of that survey where many respondents felt Pinedale has an anti-business reputation, do you agree with that assessment, and what do you think can be done to foster a business-friendly perception?
It's really hard for me to say I agree 100% with that survey. I know that three of us, some of us on the council really tried hard on trying to get the pub here. Now, what we have done since, and we fought all the way, we got some light industrial. We are working on the, we're trying to work on the ordinances. And John should remember, when he worked on the planning and zoning, that's a tough, tough job. It's a tough job to decide if you're going to step on somebody else's toes when you zone something. Usually ordinances and zoning is for protection. So it's not an easy subject.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard.
Start the next question with you, Mr. Swofford. There's been an ongoing discussion regarding legislation at the state level that could, among other things, allow towns to open municipal elections to non-resident property owners. Do you support this proposed legislation, and why or why not?
If I can't go more than 100%, yes. If I could go more than 100%, I would. This is a huge, huge thing. This is for the people, in my opinion, that live in Pinedale but can't vote in anything that affects them exactly. This is designed for rural communities in which I think fits us very precisely. You have a very small voting block as far as who can actually vote in elections here. I think this is a huge thing. I know Albert Summers is championing this. Recently, I've actually heard that it's actually gotten to a committee level. So I do think this is going to happen. I really hope that it does, and I think it will affect future elections, especially moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford. Mr. Bros, do you support legislation that would allow municipalities to open up their elections to non-resident property owners?
Yes, I would agree with that. As long as, you know, if I have property here in the town and somebody's going to tell me that I have covenants or anything else that I have to deal with, I want to be able to vote and have a voice in that. Whether I summer home here, because there are some people that are, I know the word I want to say, gypsies. They go down south for the snowbirds. You know, so if they're not here during a special election or anything like that, then they don't have a voice. But everybody that has ownership should have a voice, I think.
Thank you. Mr. Fogarty, would you support legislation that would allow municipalities to open up their elections to non-resident property owners?
Absolutely, with the only condition possibly being that they are a resident of the county in which the municipality that they're voting in exists. And, I mean, it seems a no-brainer to me, really, who has more of a vested interest in the ordinances of a town than those that are business owners within that town.
Thank you. Mr. Fogarty. Ms. Kennard, same question. Do you support legislation that would allow non-resident property owners to vote in municipal elections? Yes.
I think I am personally, my family is a little bit affected by this. My son has a building. He cannot vote in the town. And I go along with John. There has to be some strict guidelines of who can. They must not live in a foreign country and still be able to vote in our town elections. So I would support it if it is done so that it is protected.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. Mr. Lingle, would you support legislation that would allow municipalities to open up their elections to non-resident property owners?
Not in that form. I wouldn't. I've written to Albert about this, and I kind of have a problem with the property owner thing and whether if it's a corporation that owns it. And I mean, the issue about maybe if you keep the ownership and the owners have to live in the county kind of works some of those out, but you also have, you know, what if you have a partnership? Does everybody on the partnership get a vote? And for every piece of property that you own, do you get a vote in every single town? So you get more than one person, one vote, which, you know, I think doesn't hold. It would be thrown out by the Supreme Court, if not the Wyoming Supreme Court. So, you know, I had proposed to Albert a 1 or 2 mile buffer outside the town limits that would allow anybody that's a resident that in an unincorporated portion outside the town limits to vote. I think that's a sort of a workable middle ground. It doesn't get everybody that's a property owner to vote, but it sort of is a middle ground compromise.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle.
Mr. Lingle, don't go too far from the mic. Next question, how do you define economic development? And what, if any, role should the town of Pinedale play in economic development, in your opinion?
It depends, I guess, on what we're talking about. If we're talking about supporting the critical access, which in our prioritization it was economic development, bringing in professionals and having, you know, doctors and nurses and staff that would be working there, that is economic development. Whether we can go out and just, you know, raise money for specific businesses, I don't think we're allowed to as a town. But when we work with the Wyoming Business Council and can partner with them to get grant money and find a private partner like the Brew Pub was, we're foolish that we didn't get that through. But moving forward, I think Wyoming Business Council private-public partnerships are what we should be trying to do for economic development.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Mr. Swofford, same question. How do you define economic development? And what, if any, role should the town of Pinedale play in economic development, in your opinion?
I think this is where having a council that can collaborate with those different organizations that I mentioned earlier to a previous question, as far as the Sublette Economic Resource Council, the Chamber, there are many different organizations here that we can work with to push forward on economic development. As a town council person, in my opinion, all that you can do for economic development is honestly work with the individuals around you that are willing to push, because as Tim pointed out, you're kind of limited as a town councilman just based on what you can and can't do on that business front. But again, that's where the collaboration of effort needs to be there. Those bridges that are currently burnt need to be mended with the county level and even the state. I mean, that's something that in this current council's form I think has been a little bit neglected, is working with some state entities in Casper and Cheyenne. I do think that's a place where going forward that we should really look to work with others a little bit better.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford. And Mr. Brost, how do you define economic development, and what, if any, role should the town of Pinedale play in economic development, in your opinion?
By working together and establishing better communications with the other councils to better the economic development of our town. Working together also to realize shared goals, and teams that will work together collaboratively can and will obtain great resources if they put their minds to it and take the steps necessary that need to be done, i.e. grants and such. Also recognize and reward when facing competition for finite resources, especially when times are tough like they are now in this economic downturn.
Thank you, Mr. Brost. And Mr. Fogarty, how do you define economic development, and what, if any, role should the town of Pinedale play in economic development?
Well, one role that the town certainly most needs to focus on is not standing in the way of economic development. And I think we've seen some of that recently. One thing that can be done, which I was involved in while serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission, we were able to alleviate fees for signages for new businesses where at the time, I can't remember the specific numbers that were involved, but your sign fee to open a new business at one point was absurdly expensive and prohibitive, and we were able to knock that back to something more like $15. And stepping out of the way a lot of the time is maybe what the role of the town council needs to be when it comes to businesses and recognizing businesses that might be symbiotic for the community.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. And Ms. Kennard, same question. How do you define economic development, and what, if any, role should the town of Pinedale play in economic development?
I agree with Tyler. We are limited somewhat of what we can do. I think we need to back it. Anytime they come in for help, we need to say, as a town, we do back you. With the financial system the way it is now, it's hard to put a lot of money into it, but we need to support. We need to communicate. Communication has been terrible. We need to communicate no matter what. And I think we need to have people that will call us. If you have ideas, call us. Let us know what's on your mind. We don't know until somebody calls us. So communication is, you need it.
And just as a follow-up, Ms. Kennard, I know, as you mentioned, as Mr. Swofford mentioned, there are limitations in your role as council. There are also sort of public-private partnerships available through the state. What do you see as some of the best ways available amid those limitations to foster that economic development?
One of the big things that I have been really careful, I feel like I've been really careful, we should not take over things that belong to the private sector. The town should not be in probably real estate. We shouldn't be in competition with these things. We need to support any way we can, but we are limited.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard.
And we'll start this last question with Mr. Brost. Mr. Brost, if elected, What are some of the most important things you hope to accomplish by the end of your term?
Community, I guess community involvement, also to get rid of the attitude of the do as I say and not as I do, that I feel I see a lot of that in the leadership of our town right at the moment. We need to be, you know, it's no different than your own family. You know, we're just a bigger family and more spread out. We need to work together, communicate. If you have, there's going to be differences, doesn't matter. There's going to be differences on people's opinions and stuff, but how we deal with those and work through those to better the community is key.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Mr. Fogarty, if elected, what are some of the most important things you hope to accomplish by the end of your term?
The most important thing that I would like to see accomplished is a reestablishment of a good-natured rapport within the council itself and with the council's relationship with the town and the community. There's a lot of other things I'd like to see accomplished as well, but when it comes down to what's most important and what's on my mind at the moment, I'd say that's it.
And how would you do that, Mr. Fogarty?
One way to go about that is to, I think, approach meetings with a open mind and a little bit less of an ideological standpoint. I get the feeling at times that people go into that meeting with their mind made up, and I don't think that's the way a small town government should be run.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty.
Thank you.
Ms. Cunard, if elected, what are some of the most important things you hope to accomplish by the end of your term?
I would like to see us get through the ordinances and the resolutions. I'd like to see us be able to clean up what needs. There was a question in here that said, how many ordinances do we have? How many rules do we have to go by? We have lots. We have about 37 different chapters, and we need to get through those, and we need to go in with an open mind. We cannot do away with a lot of them. We have to protect people and do things that are progressive. A lot of people do not like some of the things we're doing. So, and they need to let us know. Contact us. Let us know what they want.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. Mr. Lingle, if elected, what are some of the most important things you hope to accomplish by the end of your term?
First, I think we need to balance the budget, and while still maintaining our contracts for services that we've, you know, for years have supported, like PFAC, we've supported Big Brothers, we've supported Mesa Therapeutic Riding, and in the last year, those came under attack, and I think all of us stood up and fought for those because we think they're important to the community, and we were able to keep those while maintaining a balanced budget. I also think we need to have a director of public works. We've got the mayor who's you know, working himself to the bone as director of public works. It really shouldn't be happening that way. We need to hire an employee to do that. And we really need to reclaim the role of the council as a co-equal to the mayor. And what's happened in the last 2 years where, you know, we've really been shunted aside, and it's hard to, like, claim that role.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Mr. Swofford, if elected, what are some of the most important things you hope to accomplish by the end of your term?
Well, since I'm running for the 4-year seat, that's a lot of time. Hopefully we can get a lot done. we have to right a lot of the wrongs that have been taking place over the last 2 years. And in my opinion, and I've heard this from multiple different people, so I'm not just making this up, we went from a very enviable position at the state level as far as how they view us to more of a joke at that level. That's something to think about. We really need to reverse that. Working with other organizations as best we can is really all that we can do in order to reverse that. I would love to be able to preserve the future of Pinedale in order to hopefully someday start a family, raise my kids here because I love it here. That's something that, honestly, during my 4 years, if elected, that I will indeed be pushing and putting all my efforts towards. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford.
Almost to the finish line. So, gearing up for closing statements, you'll each have up to 2 minutes each. As you see fit, and Mr. Fogarty, we'll go ahead and start with you. Closing statements.
Well, I would just really be grateful for the support of anyone in the community who feels confidence in my ability to be a strong member of the town council. I'm confident that I can do it with the years of experience I have as chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I have a fairly strong understanding of how our town government works, and so there wouldn't be much of a learning curve there for me. And I'm devoted to doing the best I can possibly do for this town. I love this place, and I want to see it thrive in every way possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fogarty. And Ms. Kennard, closing statement.
I really think that I can represent the people. I think that I can help the people. I think I can make good decisions. I'd like to try it. We'll just have to see what happens. We're going to have a lots and lots of problems, but they can be solved. We can get along with each other. We can make it a good council.
Thank you, Ms. Kennard. And Mr. Lingle, closing statement.
Well, I'd just like to say I think everybody up here would make a fine council member. I really do. I think that we have a good group of candidates. And I also want to make sure that everybody knows that the election is at the Wrangler Gym, not at the asbestos-filled town hall. So May the 3rd, please go to the Wrangler Gym. I think that I've done as well as I could, given the circumstances. And I think that I would like the opportunity to continue fighting for the public and fighting for what's right and doing, you know, small things that have big impacts, I think, like our pathway project that we got done. I'd like to continue working on things like that, you know, fly below most people's radar because they're not in the $1 million range. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Mr. Swofford, closing statement.
I guess this is my last chance. I'd like to thank everyone for putting this event on. It's always good to be able to talk to as many people in the public as possible. What I wanted to point out that I view the opportunity to be a councilman this go-around as a little bit like a place kicker in football. It should be one of those things to where if you're doing your job right, you're really not hearing from anyone, so a no news is good news situation. The flip side of that coin is whenever things aren't going well, you will hear from people. I think the people would like to vote for someone that they can trust to do the right thing. And I would like to tell everyone that I think that I can certainly do that. I personally have no political agenda outside of I want to see the best for town. I want to be here for the rest of my days. Honestly, the way things are going, it's sketchy if things are to continue down the path that they are going. It's not looking bright. I would like to be able to, I guess, serve the public in order to right that wrong and thank you for everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Swofford. And last but not least, Mr. Brost, closing statement.
I'd also like to thank those that came and put up with us for this evening. And if I'm elected, I just want you to know that there are no gray areas as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the community. There's either the right way or there's the wrong way. There's no riding the fence and seeing which way things are going to fall. You know, I am here for the community. I will be for the community. Also, to listen to my neighbors. You know, there's nobody that I've run into yet in town that I can't or don't get along with. You know, I'm not afraid to, sitting on the town council, I won't be afraid to say no when it's appropriate. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just telling you that's how it will be with me. You know, if it's good for the community and everybody agrees, then that's the way it is. If it's not, if there's a question about it, you know, things need to be discussed more, then things need to be discussed more, not just voted on just to get it through or any hidden agendas or anything else like that. You won't see that from me. So appreciate you coming.
Thank you, Mr. Brost. And that concludes tonight's forum. I believe Ms. Grimes has a few words.
I just want to reiterate that the town election will take place May 3rd, the Wrangler Gym. If you need to get registered to vote in town, be sure to stop by the county clerk's office between now and May 3rd. Also, if you have decided throughout this evening that you'd like to file and run for town council, the deadline is tomorrow at 5 p.m. You can go to the current town hall at South Tyler to file. With that, I just want to thank all of our candidates for attending tonight. We're sorry Mrs. Carlson wasn't able to make it. I want to thank all of our partners again, local media, K-Pine, Pinedale Online, Sublet Examiner, Pinedale Roundup, our moderators, Stephen Crane, Loretta Welsh, and all of my volunteers with the Government Affairs Committee. We couldn't have done this and pulled it off without all of you. So thanks, everyone, for coming, and have a great night.
All right, you've been listening to a live broadcast here on KPIN Radio of the candidate forum that just concluded up at the high school auditorium or the Pinedale Auditorium. This was brought to you by James Thomas at High Mountain Real Estate. Now, we were supposed to have an intermission, and during the intermission, I was going to talk to you about some of the properties that he has for sale, so we'll go ahead and do it right now. But remember, these are difficult times in real estate right now. Whether you're buying or selling real estate, you need a true professional who understands the nuances of buying and selling in these rough times with regard to real estate. And James Thomas is just nothing short of brilliant when it comes to understanding what you need to do, whether you're buying or selling, and he's eager to work with you. His cell phone number, 231-0167. That's James Thomas. He's out at High Mountain Real Estate. You can call High Mountain Real Estate at 367-4600. Better yet, just call James directly on his cell phone, 231-0167. I'm going to go back and talk a little bit more about the details of the election itself, but let's just take a look at some of the property that he has listed right now that we were going to talk about during the intermission that didn't happen. Right here in town, this is a good price, $109,000 for this property. It's a townhouse, a two-story townhouse at 220 South Lincoln here in Pinedale. If you want to drive by and look at it, 220 South Lincoln looks very nice from the picture. It's a has two baths. It has I'm looking for bedrooms here. Bedrooms. I got to learn how to read the sheet here. I should have had this studied. There it is. Two bedrooms. So you got two bedrooms. You've got looks like two total baths. You've got 622 square feet upstairs, 600 square feet downstairs. And again, it's for sale for $109,000. Very economical purchase here. It was built in 2005, so it's fairly new. Two-story townhouse at 220 South Lincoln here in Pinedale. That's one of his properties for sale. Next one here, and we're going to go up in value. We're going to go up in price as I go through this list. Next one is in Boulder, $137,700. It's a one-story house. Now, this one's got a lot of land around it. This one is sitting on a one-acre lot, and it's 52 North Shoshone Trail. Now, that's in the Barger subdivision. It's a beautiful-looking house. It has a little porch in front of it. I'm looking at the picture here. As far as bathrooms, it's got two bathrooms. It's got three bedrooms. And again, what's really interesting is it sits on 1 acre, so you've got quite a bit of land to surround you there. So that one, again, is $137,700 at 52 North Shoshone Trail in the Barger subdivision, available through High Mountain Real Estate. Ask for James Thomas. He'll be happy to show it to you. Third one here is on Chisler Road in Big Piney. We're going down to South County now. This particular one, hey, you can have up to 10 plus horses, it says, on this one. So this is a good horse property. It's on 15 plus acres, just over 15 acres. You got a lot of land around this one. This particular house is $249,000. It's a one-story single-family house. Total square feet, 1,560, three bedrooms. It's got two total baths, one three-quarters bath. Again, this is what's interesting. It sits on 15 and a fraction acres, and you can have horses on this property. $249,000. That's basically both number 12 and number 8. Looks like two lots together. Chisler Road and Big Piney. All right, we've got three more to go here. Let's take a look at these properties as we kind of go up in price. We're back to Pinedale. This one's at Abbey Road in Pinedale. It's $290,000. And, wow, this one is 0 square feet because it's not built yet. This is a piece of land, okay? I was looking for the size and bedrooms. Okay, this is a 65-acre lot. Whoa, this is a good chunk of land. $290,000 for a lot, 65-plus acres of land. It's got adjacent open space, got electricity to the property, a flat irrigation ditch, no CCRs. It's not in a subdivision. There's phone line going to the property. And it's just got a great view of the Grovant Mountains and the and other ranges, Wyoming ranges in view. So, nice piece of land here. 65 acres. Just think what you could do with that. And this is at Abbey Road, Pinedale, Wyoming, $290,000 for this beautiful lot. All right, next one, we're back to being in a house now. This is on 220 South Cole. This is a house, two-story house. And I see from the picture here, it looks like it has a garage. And that's part of the house. It's got an attached garage. $437,800 for this two-story house. It sits on 0.35 acres. 3,052 total square feet, so you got a lot of room inside this home. Two bathrooms and one three-quarter bathroom. Well, it says, wait a minute, baths full one, baths half zero. Maybe I'm calling out the total bathrooms here and confusing you, but anyway, it's got a full bath and it's got a three-quarters bath. Let's get that straight. Second floor is 1,702 square feet. The main floor, 1,350 square feet. It's actually zoned commercial, so if you want to do a little business operation out of your home, this is a good one because of a commercial zoning. It's 220 South Cole Avenue in Pinedale. Again, $437,800, two-story, single-family house. And I'm going to tell you in just a moment here how to get hold of James Thomas and get some more information on these. There's one more to go. This is a piece of land. And this is out at Ryegrass Road in Daniel. And look at the acreage on this, 640 acres. Yep, here's a chunk of land, 640 acres. It's adjacent to common area, adjacent open space, adjacent public land. It's flat. There's no CCNRs. It's not in a subdivision. It's on a gravel road. Great mountain views. So, again, a piece of land here, 640 acres for sale for $448,000 on Ryegrass Road, Daniel, Wyoming. And, boy, you can have horses out there, too. It says 10-plus horses are permitted out there. Now, for any of these properties, get hold of James Thomas. Again, he's a true professional when it comes to real estate, whether you're buying or selling. He'll be happy to go over these properties with you, show you the properties, get you maybe some more information above and beyond what I have. Please give them a call. Actually, give them a call and thank them for sponsoring the candidate form, if nothing else, even if you're not in the real estate market right now. But go ahead and call them and say, James, thanks. You brought us the candidate form. His cell phone, 231-0167. Again, that's 231-0167 for James Thomas, and you'll find him out at High Mountain Real Estate. Now, we've got candidates lined up. You're going to be voting for three: Jim Brost, John Fogarty, Nyla Kennard, Miriam Carlson, Tim Lingle, and Tyler Swofford, all on the slate here. And the election normally would be at Town Hall, but because of the ongoing situation with the work they're doing, it's been moved to Wrangler Gym. That's where the basketball games are played from the Pinedale High School. So it's over like near the what we used to call the elementary school cafeteria over in that part. It's not the gym inside the high school. This is Wrangler Gym. This is the one that's over by the what we call the elementary school cafeteria. May 3rd is when you vote, May 3rd, and it's open from 7 to 7, as I understand it. And remember that tomorrow you can still file to be on the ballot. Now, this is a little bit unusual, holding a forum when the filing window hasn't closed. They said, well, that was a mistake. That was a goof. But, you know, by the time everybody got arranged for this forum and the auditorium was set up and ready to go, they realized the mistake. So if you're wondering why we're doing the forum one day before the close of filing, that's why it was a goof. That's always nice when somebody just simply says it's a goof rather than trying to do a song and dance argument around it. Well, the people that got together to put this forum on included the Sublette County Chamber of Commerce, PinedaleOnline.com, the Pinedale Roundup newspaper, the Sublette Examiner newspaper, and, of course, right here, KPIN Radio. And KPIN Radio, of course, reaching out and thanking James Thomas, who's out at High Mountain Real Estate, for being our sponsor here to make it possible to get this on the radio. All right, well, don't forget, election coming up May 3rd, and tomorrow is the last day to file to be on the ballot. You might have heard the forum and thought maybe you'd like to be on that ballot, you'd like to be on town council. There's still time to do it. Get hold of Town Hall if you want to get your name on the ballot. Okay, well, again, on behalf of everybody, thank you so much. We're going to get back to music here on KPIN Radio. Again, thank you to everybody who participated.